This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths. Or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Can the Eagles win a close game if this Super Bowl is one score headed into the fourth quarter? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're live from Radio Row in New Orleans. It's Thursday, which means this thing is getting real, Pearl. We're seeing Saquon Barkley in our hotel lobby. Everyone's arriving to the site of Super Bowl 59. And, you know, maybe because we're staying at the Eagles hotel just by chance, it kind of feels like there's just tons of Eagles fans around. But the biggest thing they're going to deal with, in my opinion, is what happens if this is just like Super Bowl 57 and this is a close game in the fourth quarter and we know what the Chiefs do when it's close.
Yeah, I don't even know why this is a question. What, 17-0 in one score games, the last 17 games for the Chiefs? They can't be a close game if the Eagles want to win. This is really a dangerous spot for a couple reasons. One, the Chiefs are so poised in these situations. Two, Patrick Mahomes pulls out the scrambles when it's a close game and you... There's just no way you can stop Mahomes in a must-score drive. So where the Eagles also have Jalen Hurts running the ball, but I just think the Chiefs are 100% in that situation.
Well, listen, the Eagles really haven't played, at least on the score sheet and the box score, have not played a close game in this postseason, right? They got out to a lead against Green Bay. It was good night. You know, the Rams tried to make a furious comeback, but that was also in the snow, weird game. Mm-hmm. And then the Commanders, they had that thing pretty much under control after halftime. So they really, haven't been tested in that way in the postseason. I love that. Now, here's where I'm going to give you a little hope, because I don't think that the Eagles have to blow out the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I actually think the Eagles can win a close game against the Chiefs if indeed that's how the game goes. Do you want to know why?
Please.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. The Kansas City Chiefs have won three Super Bowls. Obviously, they're going for the three-peat now, but they've already won three. In all three of those Super Bowls, they've had a deficit in the fourth quarter. The first one, 2019 season against San Francisco, is 20-10. San Francisco lead in the going into the fourth quarter. Kansas City scored 21 fourth-quarter points to come back. Against your Eagles, 2022. Philadelphia had a 27-21 lead going into the fourth quarter. Kansas City scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. Right. Against San Francisco last year, Kansas City technically leading 13-10 heading into the fourth, but the San Francisco 49ers were driving and finished that drive early in the fourth quarter with a score and quickly took the lead 16-13.
I thought you were going to tell me something that made me feel better.
Okay, this is what I'm – and obviously they won all three of these Super Bowls. But this is where you should feel better about this. I think the Eagles are set up to sit on a lead. Because you have Saquon Barkley and because you have the better skill position players, but mostly because of Barkley and Jalen Hurts' ability to run the ball too, which obviously, pull out all the stops, it's the Super Bowl. They have not played a team who had that ability. Kyle Shanahan, the first Super Bowl, 2019, starts throwing the ball, you know, like when they're up, which has become a Shanahan staple, which is silly.
Yeah, so did Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last year.
I know, see, but you have the Eagles, like you're one of their biggest fans. I'm not going to say you can bleed clock if it's 16-13. You still want to be aggressive, but you can be aggressive in the run game, and you can eat major chunks of clock in the fourth quarter. You can win a close game.
Well, I mean, the Bills have that formula, too. They had a great run game.
The Bills, I don't think, are... They do. They went away from it. I think the coaching staff is probably going to be a bit smarter than what Buffalo the Ravens did.
That's easier said than done. The Chiefs did that to the Ravens last year's AFC title game. They got them out of their game. So somehow Steve Spagnuolo is going to do a Jedi mind trick. Watch. If it's a close game, he's going to convince Nick Sirianni and the Eagles coaching staff to throw the ball. They're going to just stack the box for Saquon. So then somehow the Chiefs keep doing this. They force the opposing offense out of their comfort zone.
Okay, but here's the other thing about when the Chiefs are playing teams like the Bills or like the Ravens. Those are quarterback-centric offenses, right?
Ravens are not necessarily.
But what was happening at the end of that game? Throwing to Mark Andrews, you know, obviously,
But generally, they are heavy run team.
They wanted to be.
Right.
But push came to shove. The quarterback was the best player on the offense. We've talked about what your hope and dream and prayer for this Super Bowl is that Jalen Hurts is a complimentary piece. I don't think there's going to be that desire, urge, the, oh gosh, now Jalen's got to go win it for us. Like, oh, Josh Allen had to go win it for us. They're not going to do that kind of thing, in my opinion, because Barkley is really the thing. So to me, close game because of Barkley, that changes things and you can win a close game.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But again, they're very similar with the Bills and the Ravens. I think the Ravens are the mirror image of the Eagles because they had Derrick Henry run for 2,000 yards, just like Saquon Barkley ran for 2,000 yards. So you're right. The formula should work, but the Chiefs have just defied any formula. The Niners last year, why could they sit on a lead? They had Christian McCaffrey.
Well, what happened? I mean,
They got to overtime.
They got to overtime and they lost. But I don't think that you would, first of all, I do think, if we're just going back to last year's Super Bowl, not to rub salt in the wounds to all of our friends in Northern California, but I think they screwed up. They screwed up like in a strategy because they didn't go for the touchdown. They kicked a field goal in overtime and gave the ball to Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Here's the thing.
Just a brain fart or not understanding the new rules or whatever happened.
Again, right. You look at every game and there's an individual circumstance and the same result happens at the end. The Chiefs walk off winners. There are all these different reasons. It's like, yes, that's why. I know it doesn't make sense. The Chiefs are going to win a close game because that's what they do. I understand your formula and that sounds great. But I think I kind of believe the Chris Sims line that we've been talking about this week, they have to crush them like the Super Bowl where Tom Brady and the Bucks beat them. Like, they need to just pulverize Patrick Mahomes and that offensive line. And that, I think, that would be the Eagles' strength, is Jalen Carter coming up the middle and those pass rushers coming around the edge. I think when you say crush, that really means your pass rush has to crush the Chiefs.
Listen, they might be able to because the Chiefs' offensive line has had to shuffle around some guys. Now, Jalen Carter missed his media availability yesterday because he's not feeling well. Under the weather, get it, little New Orleans flu. I don't know. Maybe just not feeling good. But he does have until Sunday evening to get better. Let's put up on the poll, EJ, can the Eagles win a close game against the Chiefs? Can I give you another reason why I think the Eagles could win a close game?
Right.
It's something we've been talking about all week, and for weeks, quite frankly, with the Chiefs and the calls that they get. You're talking about if this is a close game and Patrick Mahomes' ability to scramble. And what happens when you scramble? Well, he exposes himself maybe to injury, but he also, you know, the defense has to be very careful not to have some penalty on Mahomes that gives them a free first down.
Right.
Keeps drives alive. I think all the chit-chat about the Chiefs getting calls, I think that definitely seeps into the referees, like, even if it's unconscious or subconscious, whatever. I do think that in a big spot, they may think twice. And again, it might not even be like top of mind. Oh, you know, a ref's just making a split second decision. And so I know they're highly trained, but this could end up working in the Eagles' favor. The fact that all the chit chat has been, oh, are Mahomes and the Chiefs going to get ticky tack calls.
Yeah, no, Mahomes was clearly, I said this during the game, like there's no way that he was going to get a roughing call against Buffalo. And I don't think he did. They got that fourth down call.
Yeah, after what happened against the Texans.
They could have come after him with a 4x4 and hit him in the head. There was no way Mahomes was getting a call.
But spit up my water.
Then again, do you really, okay, so even if you take out the roughing, you think you're stopping that offense in the fourth quarter? That's, I don't care. They'll find another way.
To be fair, you have the better playmakers. Like, on paper, Xavier Worthy is a rookie. Travis Kelce is going to be Kelce or he's not. I don't know. Kelce wasn't a big factor in the passing game against Buffalo.
Mecole Hardman caught the game winner last year. Like, it doesn't – the Chiefs – that's totally irrelevant. The Chiefs' offense, it doesn't matter who their playmakers are come playoff time. Juju Smith-Schuster will have a huge catch, just like he did in the last Super Bowl. I'm not going to – you can't tell me that the playmakers, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, is any kind of advantage over the Chiefs. But the Chiefs will hit you with eight different – who knows? It'll be Justin Watson or Noah Gray or some rando who just comes out of nowhere and catches – like Samaje Perine is going to probably have the first down that clinches the game again. There's too many weapons with Kansas City.
855-212-4227. We're on the road in New Orleans, day four here on Radio Row. But just because we're on the road doesn't mean we can't talk to you. The show is still the show, even if we're not in the studio. And Titan Maniac, who's in our chat, you can watch us on YouTube and Twitch, says it's funny how nobody's mentioning the Super Bowl that the Chiefs got destroyed by a great defense, a la Philly. And by the way, Kansas City was favored by 4. I don't remember Kansas City being favored in that Super Bowl, but I believe you, Titan. And we know what the formula was there. They just ripped apart the Chiefs' offensive line, and Mahomes was running for his life.
Chiefs' offensive line had injuries. I had Mike Remmers, the worst Super Bowl tackle of all time, twice. So, yeah, that's exactly
really
that's
hope we
formula.
Don't run into him today.
That is the formula. Just hope that the left tackle loses his footing all game and you have your version of Shaq Barrett going to town. That is what you have to do. You have to crush this team. And, you know, I kind of thought the Eagles did last time because Mahomes was limping all over the field in the first half. Mm. Then they did something in the 48-minute halftime that was probably nefarious, and he came out and he had no limp. So I have no idea what that was. But obviously he probably got a painkiller or some kind of shot. That long halftime also favors the Chiefs. Like, even if you get after him in the first half, to keep it up in the second half, the Chiefs are a great adjustment team. You saw it against the Bills. Like, they're just very well coached. They're very disciplined. That's the other thing. This officiating edge, it's also because the Chiefs are so darn disciplined.
Yep.
They do not screw up. The Eagles, this particular Eagles team, has not been tested like that. Maggie, make great points about why the Eagles can win a close game. None of it's sinking in. It's just like, coming into the fourth quarter against that Chiefs team, it's just a scary proposition.
855-212-4227. Okay, so that's a little what we're thinking about as the Super Bowl is drawing nearer and nearer. And yeah, can the Eagles win a close game? I think yes. Perloff thinks they have to. I mean, what do you think? It has to be a 3-score lead heading into the fourth quarter? How big of a lead does it have to be for you to feel anywhere comfortable?
Yes. I mean, honestly, they had that lead over the Rams, and the Rams almost stormed back. Who knows if that was on a dry field, what might have happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 scores would be good. At least over 2 scores. Over 10 points to start with. Like, that's a given.
Okay.
But it can't be. The comeback again in 2019... The Chiefs scored like 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. It was like a 1-score game. Like, that comeback to me is overstated somewhat. It wasn't 28-3, the Patriots came back in their dynasty. I would take a 31-0 halftime and feel good.
I don't know. You might not get that.
Honestly, and even that.
Might be a little closer.
31-0, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. They got Mahomes.
I feel like it's more like 7-0. I think this game is going to be low scoring, but we'll get into that a little bit too about game flow.
I think the Eagles need a big lead to feel comfortable. You try and live bet against the Chiefs. If it's a close game, I'm sure the Chiefs are going to be, they could be down 6. I'm sure they'll be favored by Vegas.
Yeah, of course. Okay, 855-212-4227. Can I give you guys a little taste of who we have on tap for you today? Super Bowl champions, current head coaches who may have just won a championship. Let me just tell you who we're talking to today. Jim Harbaugh, the LA Chargers head coach, is going to join us today. Joey Porter Sr. won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, and multiple time All-Pro is going to join us. Could be the future of the league. Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback, is going to join us. And later in the show, Cowboys legend Emmett Smith will be here on our set. Looking forward to this fantastic day. So glad you're with us here in New Orleans. Well, along for the ride with us in New Orleans. It's 855-212-4227 to get in touch with the show. We want to say good morning to everyone listening to us on SiriusXM channel 375. We made it easy for you to remember the switch in channel number. Babe Ruth, John Elway, Reggie Bush, 375. That's where you'll find us every morning. Of course, on the Odyssey app, on our Infinity Sports Network stations, YouTube, Twitch, and on X. Let's get it going. Can the Eagles win a close game? You tell us. It's M&P. It's our pleasure to be joined by a Super Bowl champion, someone who's been to this big game and won it, four-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro linebacker Joey Porter on the set on behalf of GNC, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And Joey, okay, so full disclosure, Perloff and myself used to work at Sports Illustrated. This is where we met and first then teamed up now on radio. Perloff wants to tell you about this photo that hung in our office for years.
So, right, it's the NFL preview. I believe it's 06. Yes. And you're shirtless except for shoulder pads. What was that photo shoot like? Did you have to think about it? And you look great, obviously. But.
It was actually, I caught a lot of crap for that photo shoot, just with my guys.
Because yeah.
We're in training camp. And I don't know that I'm getting picked for Sports Illustrated to cover. They say, hey, man, come down here. We're going to take some – we had Sports Illustrated. It's you and a few guys for the cover. We don't know who we're going to take yet, but we still want to shoot you for the Sports Illustrated. So I'm fired up because either way, I'm getting in Sports Illustrated.
Right.
I'm going to have a photo. So I don't know it's a cover, but I know I'm getting a photo. And we had won the championship. So, like, Casey was – When it came out, he was so mad at me.
Oh, no.
Because he's like, look at you in there with your shirt off. He said, why you got your shirt off? He said, man, this is the photo they asked me. Like, this is not my idea. What really ticked him off is, where is that?
Most feared player
in the NFL.
Joey Porter, most feared player in the NFL. And you look fearsome in the picture.
Yeah, you were mean mugging. Did they also ask you for a smile photo?
No, I gotta play it to the what they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
The cover is most feared player in the NFL. I didn't know it was going to say that on it. So when it went to the most feared, I think that's what made Casey Hampton mad, because like everybody on my defense feel like they're that person.
Right, right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying? Right. I play with 11 most feared guys, and they gave me the cover, so I called crap for that, but it was funny. It was,
so do you have a picture of this hanging up in the house?
Oh,
anywhere?
I have millions of those photos. Oh. It's so bad. You go to one of my bathrooms, I'm staring at you while you're using the restroom.
The weird man in the bathroom.
And Hemp goes down there. He's like, Peasy, seriously, man, you just go stare at me while I'm using the restroom, man? Why you got that picture? I said, Christy, put that in there, man. I don't put that in there. So, like, they send you a million copies. They send you a big cutout.
Yeah, yeah.
They send you all these different pictures. So, like, my wife was all excited about it. We handed out so many to the family. And then, like, they're just in random places in the house. So, like, you go into the bathroom. I'm staring at you. You might open this room, and here I'm staring at you again.
You know the Mona Lisa, they say? Her eyes follow you as you're going across the loop. It's just like you with Joey Porter is here with us on behalf of GNC.
That night that Joey Porter Jr., your son, got drafted, did you see it coming? And when that was actually called, was it an emotional moment for you?
It definitely was emotional. If I can tell you who he was going to, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's why we were in that situation, because it's a draft. You don't know where you're going. We got a good inkling that we're getting picked, but to where, we didn't know.
Yeah.
And how it happened, like, we were so mad at day one when it didn't happen, to where neither one of us looked at who had the 32nd pick. That's how horrible it was. Like, we flew home after the draft. Because he didn't even look to see that the Steelers was picking next. Like, that's how distraught he was and just mad at the whole process. We were at home before we realized the Steeler has the first pick of the day.
Oh.
So what made the thing special was, like, I was born in Kansas City, Missouri. They had the draft in Kansas City, Missouri. That was my son's first time being back where his dad was born. And so we got family that lives in Kansas City. So it was like, Dad, this is crazy how it comes full circle. I'm going to get drafted in Kansas City, Missouri, where you was born at. And we went all of our family went down there for that. He didn't get his name called, and he was so distraught. He flew out. He didn't want to wait. So we laugh about it now. It's like, you know, you could have walked across the stage the very next day. But he wanted to get out of there because he just, in his mind, he thought he let somebody down. I'm like, how? We're here because of you. You're the reason why 150 people flew to Kansas City. Like, we're here for you. We don't give a damn if you got drafted the seventh, the last pick of the seventh round. We still was here for you. But it's just the pressure he put on himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It comes with it.
Well, we're talking with Joey Porter. Joey Porter Jr. now also plays for the Steelers, where you are a legend, an All-Pro, and a Super Bowl champion. Do you think he's felt that pressure his whole life, if you had to keep having these conversations over and over with having to play in your shadow?
Well, he had that pressure early on, and I told him right away, like, man, we share the same name. You don't even have to play football, none of the sports, if you feel like it's too much for you. He's like, no, Dad, I love playing football. I want to play football. So I just already let him know that don't allow them to put pressure on you. You're walking your own journey. My turn was my turn. I had fun with my turn. It's all about you. And don't even let them compare you. So, like, when they compare, I defer to my son is better off the top. Everything that he's done started off better than mine. Like, he was a four-star. I had zero stars. He went to Penn State. I went to Colorado State. I love my school, but he went to Penn State. Mm. Bigger, played on a bigger level. He made All-American. I was third-team All-American. I got drafted third round, 73rd pick. He got drafted 32nd pick. Yep. You know what I'm saying? But right. You tell yourself you're second rounder because it was the next day. So you did everything right, and you're still doing it better than I did. So
well, except for one thing.
I had a championship.
No, was he the most feared player in the NFL?
No, I haven't earned that yet. He hasn't earned that yet.
It's kind of hard as a defensive back.
He has a long time to earn that. That comes with it. You got to kick a couple of teeth in to get that.
So Joey Porter is here with us on set on behalf of GNC. Right before we get to that, one thing about the million-dollar question here for the Steelers is who are they going to choose? Now they've got two quarterbacks. I know season didn't end how anyone wanted to. Five-game losing streak, including the playoffs. Now they got to pick between Fields and between Russ or maybe door number three. Yeah. I mean, you are a coach also. You understand Mike Tomlin's sort of thought process. Where do you think they're going to go?
I like both of the quarterbacks, but if we're being honest, you know, you got to do what works best for your team. Like, I don't know what kind of offense we're going with, right? We start off the beginning of the year, we want to be a running offense. Obviously, Fields is the guy if we're going to run, ball, get Najee, get Patterson, and get all the running backs that we have. You have to be able to run the ball. Like, it does no good to run zone read offense if the quarterback's never going to keep it, right? Take that out. So, like, if Russell ain't going to never keep it, why even implement that offense? If you look at the offense, they had two different offenses. The one we ran with Fields, that was a run-based offense. We opened the game with a quarterback power when Fields is in the game. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest, you got to judge them on the same curve. We opened the game with a quarterback power when Fields is – we're not opening the game with quarterback power when it's Russell. So they have two different playbooks. What playbook do you want to live in is the question. What playbook is your offense built around to really do it?
I want to peg you into, okay, who should they go with? But let's talk about GNC. It's why you're here. Fitness, obviously. We see the cover of Sports Illustrated, and you've continued that on. Why was GNC a right fit for you?
Well, GNC is, they local. You know what I mean? Their headquarters in Pittsburgh. They've been a partner with the Steelers for years. So, like, anybody been a partner with the Steelers that long, at some point in time, you're going to be a partner with Joey Porter Sr. Now, I've been using GNC products since I was in the NFL. Even before that, my kids grew up off GNC products. It's what they've been taught and what they've been at. It's only certain things that I bring in my house. You know, I bring in the stuff that, like, we're never going to fail any banned substances in my house. That's just not going to happen. Like, we don't need it that bad to take anything that's cutting edge, right? Like, we're not looking for that type of advantage. Multivitamins, stuff like that, pre-workout, creatine, stuff that you can read the bottle that you know what's in there, just going to just give you a little more strength, stuff like that. That's what we've been lived on. That's how I became the most fearless guy on the thing, using the GNC products. Like, it got me strong enough to, at my strongest when I was working out, I was strong enough to where I don't need to take nothing else. If I can't get the job done, I'm benching 475 pounds. If that ain't enough for me to play football, then shit, I ain't about to take nothing else that's going to I mean, that's plenty strong enough, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't know.
That was it.
475. That's
that
it.
Was it, man. I ain't yeah, Harrison. Like, I ain't trying to
squat
500, but I wasn't going no past that. So my chest, my arms was damn near as strong as my legs. That's bad because I had little legs, right? I've always had little legs, but they was fast. So I didn't even live in that world. But with GNC, how I take it now is just. Yeah. Just to take care of my body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not lifting to be.
I love GNC, but I could have gone there forever and not got to 475.
you could take every vitamin yeah, on this planet. Yeah. Not going to happen. Yeah. GNC.com is where you can find more about it. Joey Porter Sr., thank you so much. And loved watching you play. Love watching your son play.
Yeah, we are the least feared radio host.
No, man,
radio
you just now put out something good. Like, I got some good content right there. Like, I can imagine when I get off this phone call right now, Casey Hampton is somewhere around. Cussing me out right now because y'all brought up that video, that picture again.
Well, I can't wait. You got to invite us in the house so we can sit in the bathroom and see the poster.
That sounded funny. Joey, thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You generally invite yourself over to Super Bowl champions' home so that you can use their bathroom?
Yeah.
Wait. Maybe you'll get that invite. Not sure. In the chat, Drunkle Sam is asking us on youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Maggie, has anybody in the entourage gotten in trouble yet? Has anyone in the Maggie and Perloff entourage gotten in trouble yet? We will answer that in just a moment. But Andrew Bogish has headlines for us on this Thursday. Hey, folks.
Hey, guys. Good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Ooh, the bleep is Manny Rodriguez. The paperwork is still being finalized, but the NBA's messiest divorce is complete.
Yeah, finally! Finally!
Jimmy Butler's on his way, finally.
It's amazing how versatile that became.
Jimmy Butler on his way from Miami to Golden State in a complicated multi-team trade that apparently almost ended up with Butler going to Phoenix and KD returning to the Warriors, but Durant nixed that one.
I'm the petty king.
So the Dubs take Butler and are expected to sign him to a two-year, $111 million extension. The Heat take back Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a top-10 protected first-rounder this summer. Utah gets Dennis Schroeder from Golden State. Detroit gets Josh Richardson from Miami. We also have the Lakers unloading one of our faves, Dalton Knecht, plus Cam Reddish, and a 2031 first-rounder on the Hornets.
Cam Reddish.
For seven-footer Mark Williams, who has averaged 16 points and 9 rebounds this season without me knowing that he existed.
Wait, Perloff, what did you say about Dalton Knecht that got you in trouble for all the fans in Tennessee?
I didn't like when he pointed to his ring finger after winning the SEC title.
Oh, right. That got people bigger, big mad.
Bigger goals.
The Pelicans have unloaded Brandon Ingram to Toronto. The Kings get Jonas Valanciunas from Washington, all with the trade deadline coming this afternoon. There were also games last night. The Heat, a 108-101 win in Philadelphia. The Warriors losing in Utah, 131-128. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 50 again as the Thunder routed the Suns, 141-109. The Grizzlies pushed their win streak to 4, 138-107 in Toronto, and the Cavs took a thriller in Motown.
Tie game, 5 to go. Garland in the Niang, back to DG. GG with 2, the 3, good! Cavs win! Cavs win it! DG with a shot that will reverberate across the state of Michigan.
Well, thankfully, I just checked. Michigan's fine this morning, but the Cavs did win this game 118-115 on Darius Garland's 31-footer. The Mets and Pete Alonso sticking together for at least one more season with no long-term big money deal materializing. The first baseman's reportedly inking a two-year deal worth $54 million. Alonso can opt out after making $30 million in this coming season.
Boy,
it's got Boris washed.
Yes.
I mean,
he's cashing Juan Soto cuts.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He just signed a $765 million deal,
EJ. No, let's be real. I could have negotiated that deal. The whole league wanted Juan Soto. I don't think he gets credit for that. That's like the agent of Shohei getting credit for getting $700 million.
Which is also Scott Boras.
Wash, but I think, you know, Alonso had a little to do with this because he didn't have a great season until finally he saved the season.
Yeah, that didn't work
in Milwaukee.
Out for him.
But anyway, yeah, that was interesting. We got to get more into this Jimmy Butler thing. Sorry, folks. Didn't mean to step on you. You got more?
The Jaguars are hiring 29-year-old Grant Udinski as offensive coordinator. But don't forget, head coach Liam Cohen will call plays. Udinski, a Vikings offensive assistant this season. Women's number one, UCLA, fought off eighth-ranked Ohio State, 65-52. Lauren Betts, 19 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. The second-ranked Duke men, 83-54 winners at Syracuse. That's their nation-leading 16th straight win. And from the NHL, the Kings took care of the Canadiens 6-3. LA's won 11 of its last 12 in LA. And the Rangers down the Bruins 3-2. Now, guys, back to you.
Okay, got a lot of things going on here. First, if you guys could see on our chat on YouTube and on Twitch and on X, Perloff's visceral reaction when he finds out that people in their 20s are getting these high-profile jobs. It's just like, it's disgust that's coming from, like, the inside out.
I'm not disgusted. I'm shocked. I mean, I did not see Grant Udinski coming. I thought he was going to have to do a tight end coach for him. Actually, I have no idea who these guys are. But it's just like,
saw him coming.
Actually, when Bogue said that Liam Cohen's still calling plays, that kind of toned it down a little bit. But, like, can you imagine a 28-year-old kid calling plays in the NFL? That'd be insane.
Well, how old was McVay when he got hired? He was calling 31. Plays. Yeah, he's 31. 27, 31. I mean, it's a big difference.
Actually, a pretty big difference.
I know. Wow, listen, McVay grew up, like, in the league. I'm not sure about Udinski. I'm sure he did, too.
But yeah. The crazy McVay thing was he was the youngest coach in the NFL for, like, 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, no one, like, usurped him when no one came in younger. He was so young when he got that job with the Rams.
Yeah, it was almost like Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold's still younger than everybody else in his draft class. I'm like, he's been on three teams.
Well,
was he 14 when he got to the NFL? He's like the Doogie Howser of the NFL.
Did McVay beat Tomlin, right? Tomlin was previously the youngest coach hired, wasn't he?
I thought it was Lane Kiffin.
Oh, Kiffin.
Oh, Kiffin.
Yeah, he almost doesn't count. I feel like, yeah, those are guys. And they've had great success. And then there were a bunch of 30-somethings. Brian Callahan's not 40.
No, he's not very. And Mike McDonald. These guys are not.
Kevin O'Connell was in the league not long ago. How old is he? And Sirianni, by the way, is in his second Super Bowl.
He's 45.
43. Yeah, I mean, it's a young man's game, which is funny because Andy Reid is 66 and probably the best coach.
I mean, is it a young man game? Pete Carroll just got hired.
Yeah,
it's kind of a young
point.
Man and an old man game.
By the way, I was going to say, I know I said that being an NBA general manager for a bad team for 7 years is the best job. Also, being an offensive coordinator where you don't call plays is a great, great sports job.
Cushy.
Like, you don't call the plays, so they can't blame you for any of the issues, but you got some genius drawing stuff up like Ben Johnson or all these guys. Like, that's the job you want in the NFL.
What does, like, the Rams offensive coordinator do?
Right.
I get coffee, paninis. I have no idea.
And then he gets the next head coaching job.
Yeah.
I always thought the most thankless job was being like Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator. Cause like he's changing everything at the line of scrimmage anyway, or Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator. But those guys were getting hired.
I don't know. Tom Moore was a big part of Peyton Manning. Like, I'm not sure. I always thought that Peyton Manning audibling was a bit overstated. He had like three options in front of him. It was like he got to the line and said, all right, I'm going to draw up a new thing out of nowhere. Anyway, that's just my take on that. It's a good point. If you have an older quarterback, he's going to coach. Did someone tell us yesterday Tom Brady basically coached the Bucs team?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we got that percolating for you. Perloff's just utter disdain for these young guys getting these big jobs.
Me too.
And then the Manny also bitter. You're also in your 20s and bitter. So we talked to Joey Porter Jr. about him being on this, you know, SI cover that used to hang in our office where it said the most feared man in the NFL. He's got no shirt on, shoulder pads. He's got the close haircut and mean mugging for the camera. And it's amazing. He said it's hanging in his bathroom. So this has sparked a chat, conversation in the chat about the SI swimsuit issue. And only reason I'm bringing it up is because our own Andrew Kaplan even weighed in. So according to the chat, Drunkle Sam says our swimsuit edition was not allowed in the bathroom. And Cap said the same in my house.
What?
Who's keeping an eye on that? What do you have to, like, check it out like it's a library? Is it, like, under lock and key? How does that even work? You're not allowed to, I get why. But, who's there standing in front of the bathroom and what, monitoring what you take in there?
And also, who's going into the bathroom with a magazine like during the day for your mom to be like, you shouldn't do that now?
Well, why is your mom even paying that close attention that she knows what you're taking in
she
there?
She shouldn't be awake to be paying attention to where you are and what you're doing.
Oh, your issue is with the time.
Yeah, at 3:30 in the afternoon, they're right. You should not be taking that into the bathroom for other than bathroom purposes.
3:30 in the morning, though.
Right.
Man.
Wait, what?
I didn't realize that was part of this conversation. But anyway, I didn't realize also that maybe moms were monitoring this.
Not in my household. It was just a very awkward moment where, like, you know, all the other issues show up at the house that get delivered. And the swimsuit issue is just like...
Just sitting there.
No way makes a comment about it.
Can I tell you a true story? Perloff knows this. When they would deliver the swimsuit issue to our office, it would be left in front of all of our offices and everyone's cubicle face down.
I know. That was.
We have no idea why.
Right. That's weird.
That's back when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit thing was a thing. Now it's just embarrassing in the era of the internet.
Well, I mean, yeah, we talk about that, but it's just funny to me that we had the covers of these women, Tyra Banks you know, Christy Brinkley and all that, are hanging up 8x8, like just gigantic posters of them. But for some reason, when they would deliver the magazine to us, it would be face down.
Right.
I have no idea.
I'm just saying that feels like a bygone era because it's so tame now. I mean, open Instagram. I'll go to my Instagram page right now, and there'll be 50 things that are way dirtier.
Just watch the Grammys. Yeah,
probably shouldn't admit that. They're there for a reason, bro. Buddy.
Yeah, the algorithm is... the algorithm is...
It knows. It's reading your mind.
Thank you, Zuckerberg.
I heard a funny line. Big Cat was talking the other day. He's like, yeah, I have to watch all the videos with the women with big chests just so I keep getting fed them in the algorithm. I was like, how are you the most popular podcaster? That's how.
Yeah. Okay, 855-212-4227. Bokes, thanks. We will get back into our question about the Super Bowl, which is, can the Eagles win a close game? You know, the Chiefs have trailed in the fourth quarter in all three of the Super Bowls that they've won. But if the Eagles can get a lead, can they sit on it with Saquon Barkley and this great defense? Yes or no? 855-212-4227. And we'll also get into the big Jimmy Butler trade for our friends in the Bay Area. You got playoff Jimmy. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Let us know.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie and Perloff Show on Super Bowl Radio Row is sponsored by Tide Pods. Turn to cold water washing with Tide Pods. When you switch from hot to cold, you could save up to $150 a year on your energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold. Welcome back. When Joey Porter Jr. joined us, I thought he was going to lead with all the Tide Pods on the set.
He was into it.
Really loves Tide, as we do. We'll get back to the Super Bowl question that we have for you, which is, can the Eagles win a close game against the Kansas City Chiefs? 855-212-4227. But the Jimmy Butler trade goes down last night, Pearl, while we're out to a nice company dinner. Mm-hmm. Very nice of our boss, Ryan Hurley, to take us all out, and it was super fun. And we find out that Jimmy Butler finally gets his wish. So he's going to Golden State, even though he wanted to go to Phoenix. And I know he didn't get his preferred destination, but in some ways it feels a little like the whiny child got what he wanted. You know, this has been so unsavory how he left Miami, but it was pretty unsavory how he left Minnesota. And it wasn't great how he left Chicago. This is just sort of Jimmy.
Not ideal how he left Philly either.
Well, he felt undervalued and left as a sign and trade, I think, technically.
Yeah,
right?
But... is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because this all kind of worked out at his next home.
It did. So that's the thing, right? Maybe if we can get past the drama of it all, which is not easy. You know, he looked like a whiner. And, you know, he and Pat Riley got into a war of words last year. I think egos got in the way. And they just needed a split. So now he goes to Golden State. Two questions that I have about this trade. One, can a Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry pairing with both guys in their mid-30s, can this work immediately?
Damn right.
That would be my first thing. You know, just basketball-wise, Jimmy can kind of fit I don't say with anybody, but because he can play off the ball, he's got this incredible playoff reputation where he's good in crunch time. Like, I think there are basketball reasons why this definitely works. But that's question number one. What do you think about the fit?
I mean, I think this is an irrelevant trade. I think there's no chance the 25 and 25 Warriors are getting out of this Western Conference. So I honestly, I don't see this ending with another title for Steph Curry.
Not this year or next year because Butler signed an extension.
Right. The West is crazy. I mean, honestly, Jimmy Butler, I'm a big fan of Jimmy Butler. I would have liked him to go to a younger team who needs a closer. I just don't think the Warriors are, and maybe I've been fooled before, are the Warriors good enough with this core to get out, you know, to beat these big, tall Western Conference teams? I don't think so. I would have sent him somewhere where that kind of tenacity is needed in the playoffs.
Okay, but here's the thing about Jimmy, and that leads into my second question. Yeah. A young team that's on the rise, can you bring a guy like Jimmy Butler in? And that's where I think damage to his reputation. You know, because
what are you talking about?
Do you want to disrupt chemistry? And do you bring him to the Rockets? You know, a team that, again, on the rise. But now it becomes the Jimmy Butler show, you know? Or does he overpower the younger guys and, you know, not be a complimentary piece but want to be the focal point? Like, that could be the issue with Jimmy. So my second question about whether or not this is going to work, are Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green's personalities going to be able to fit together? And I would just say start the cameras rolling right now because this has the possibility of being super combustible, or maybe it's great. I have no idea.
But they're so old at this point. Like, are they really, have they not matured to the point where they can't get along?
No, not matured. This is one of the most immature things. We saw Jimmy Butler try to get himself out of Miami. I mean, he had to get suspended from the team three times.
I don't, honestly, are people really going to care? Is this really going to be like the, I feel like they even with Jimmy Butler, they don't feel that super relevant. Maybe they have to start winning, and then maybe that will change. But I don't know. I just feel like they obviously want a KD. That feels very clear.
Right.
Because that's the kind of player that could make a major difference. But Jimmy Butler, a 6'7 wingman on that team, like, what? Is there any chance? If you're not contending for a title, is anyone going to care about potential drama with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler?
Well, I'm just saying, does that just kind of blow the whole thing up before it even gets a chance? You know, I think that if they get to a play-in game or if they're a low seed in the playoffs, I don't want to see them. If they're all gelling and clicking, this is, you know, these are players with so much experience in the finals. If I'm OKC, who's obviously more talented, but have they been on nearly the bigger stage than the Warriors and Jimmy Butler dragging two Heat team to the finals?
But one thing about Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, they have so much demonstrated success. And I know that they're combustible, but I mean, how many times is Draymond Green, they can make it work. They've made millions of situations work. If they were close to a title, they would definitely put any drama aside.
Okay, and they've blown up situations that that could have worked. And that's part of the reason why the original trade that I think everyone wanted couldn't happen.
KD.
Wow. KD and Draymond can't be together. And that, and let's, we can get to the KD part of it. I think it's so weak sauce by KD if he didn't want to go back to Golden State because he's afraid that Charles Barkley is going to call him a bus rider. You're afraid a Twitter user 508 is going to call you some name. Like, dude, get offline.
No.
Get out of your head
and
go someplace. If you think this is the best basketball decision, don't worry if Charles Barkley calls you a bus rider because
come on, man.
KD is not going to be the best player on a championship team at his age right now anyway.
You can't go back to Golden State if you're KD. It was one of the worst personnel decisions in NBA history for KD to go to the Warriors. And, like, he can't double down on it.
Why? He won two titles.
Because it's a he'll never, he joined the, it was kind of like LeBron joining a super team. Like, that will always be an asterisk on those guys' legacies.
Okay, so the asterisk is there. You're not going to convince everybody, you know, that you were the impetus or that you were, you know, a missing piece if the Warriors may have been about to take a downslide or whatever. You're never going to convince those people. So why not go back? Like,
because then you have two asterisks, like on a nutritional value on a product. You have two asterisks. Like, the guy's already got the biggest asterisks of any superstar of all time.
Empty calories?
Yeah, you can't, like, honestly, and you say it's about Charles Barkley. The reason that Charles Barkley line resonated, because so many people believe that.
But then he's got to get a backbone and not care what Barkley says
on TV.
He's
got to get a backbone and not go to Golden State back in 2017.
Well, we can't undo that. And by the way, he did win Finals MVP twice. He did win those two titles. It's free agency. He was allowed to go wherever he wanted to go. But yeah, he was going to have to deal with the fallout. And you know what? If you can't handle the smoke, then don't do it. I just can't believe at this point he would still be holding on to this. Like,
are you kidding?
People have
point,
formed their opinions,
40 years ago.
Man.
No. Yeah, I mean, he can't go. First of all, he's not going to win, probably, if he goes back to Golden State anyway. So
he's not
why,
winning now.
Why double down on that and then probably not win a title? Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're not going to win, you might as well not have that extra thing added on top.
See, I thought it was maybe the relationship with Kerr. You know, I don't think he and Kerr, beyond Draymond, but I don't know if he and Kerr really are simpatico. Listen, they won two titles.
Just coached him at Team USA.
That's true, but that's like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that was the reports from the Bay Area that they did not see eye to eye. But who knows?
I mean, can't that
be water under the bridge right now?
Yeah, this Western Conference is so crazy. Like, all these big deals, are any of them going to impact the finals? Like, now the Warriors have to win now, and the Lakers have to win now with Luka and LeBron, and the Mavs have to win now with AD and Kyrie, and probably none of these older guys are going to win. They can't all win.
And meanwhile, you got Jokic.
You got
OKC.
The Thunder. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe have we heard the last from Minnesota? Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
Memphis is having a great season, too. Don't
see if they can stay healthy. 855-212-4227. Lakers also trade for big man Mark Williams. We'll get into that a little bit later. Trade deadline coming up this afternoon. Okay. Coming up next from us, Patrick Mahomes. Talking about his chess match against the Eagles defense. We'll get into that and a big question about Travis Kelce next.